This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, let's get right to it. It is definitely the Power Hour now because he's done it again. Larry Penley and the Clemson Golf Program, dominant, no doubt, yesterday as they took on Florida State. Always had it. Never, ever in doubt yesterday. Larry, what's happening?
There's a lot of things yesterday was. Dominant was not one of them. But it was an amazing day. It really was an amazing day. We had a blast yesterday.
That was a great golf match. Not a good one, a great one. And Florida State, the number two ranked team in the country, really had you on the ropes, the front nine for sure. And there were times even on the back nine it didn't look great. But that, and again, the league is tremendous. You know this. But Florida State's a team that can win the national championship. Of course, you are too. And that's what made yesterday so much fun.
Well, I mean, I'm still not a fan of the format. I'll go ahead and throw that out there right quick. We did find a way to win the match play portion. But my hat's off to Chapel Hill for the week. The golf they played in 54 holes was championship caliber at its best. That golf course was difficult. Wes, you've been out there. You know how hard that place is. The greens were rolling about 13. It was amazing. It was such a great venue. Bob Covington and his crew does such an amazing job. Yeah. It was awesome. And then for Chapel Hill to go out there and blitz it and shoot 26 under par and win the medal play portion by 15. And then guess what? They draw the number two team in the country who barely snuck in. You know they're riding on a high. And they just boat raced Carolina in that afternoon. You know, so that's kind of where it is. I mean, it's I don't know if it crowns the best team, but if you ask the people that were there, it is exciting. I mean, I heard more hollers and yells and screams and even chants this weekend at a golf tournament than I've heard in 38 years. So if they wanted to create excitement, that's exactly what they've done.
Larry, we're going to talk about Zach Gordon's putt for years and years to come, and I know that in the Clemson golf world. But you've seen a lot of great head-to-head match play scenarios. Jacob Bridgman and John Pack were sensational yesterday. That was high-level golf, and I don't care where you're playing it. Pro, any qualifier for the U.S. Open, majors, those two guys going head-to-head, that was a heck of a show now.
Well, if we were going to win, Jacob had to beat Pack. And that hasn't happened to John Pack often this year. He is the number one ranked player in the country for a reason. Tremendous young man, but so is Jacob Bridgman. And all Jacob is ranked number four in the country. And I think at one time he might have been ranked number one. So, you know, we had two super, super talents battling. Jacob's two down. Momentum turned on number 12 when Jacob makes about a 40-footer for birdie, and I could see it in his eyes, and it was like, Coach, he is not beating me today. Get us two more points. And that's exactly kind of what happened. Cottom was solid all day. Kyle Cottom is a big-time player. The bigger the stage, the better he plays. I knew he was going to win his match. So between Colby Patton and Zach Gordon, we had to get one more point because Pettit was running into a buzzsaw. The kid that he was playing, I think, was 5-under through 12 holes, and Pettit didn't have an answer for it. You know, so Florida State was locking up that point. Colby battled, won 16-17, almost won 18 to have the match, and then we've got Zach Gordon, who we had to win that point.
And that leads to Zach Gordon gets to 18 and really has all the advantages in the world, right? I mean, he's on the green, putting for three. Guys playing against, got to get it up and down. You got to figure, hey, we're going to win this point right now. And now we got a chance. And then lo and behold, Zach Gordon, three putts. And now you go bonus golf. Larry, there had to be a point in time when Zach was walking off 18, you're thinking, man, that you just can't miss that opportunity, right? That was a killer.
Zach has a story to tell for the entire rest of his life about never giving up, never getting down on yourself, never quitting. He had every reason in the world to hang his head, but he didn't. you can't botch the 18th hole any worse than he did, knowing that your competitor, the very best he's going to make is five. And we make four and we win, and he's hit it 350 right down the middle of the fairway. We've got about 140 yards in. Let's make a four. Let's hope Jacob can find a way to win his match and then possibly win the trophy. That does not happen. Zach didn't get the ball where he needed to get it on the green. He had to come up and over a rise, found a way to three-putt it. So now you got to collect yourself. But he did. I mean, he hit great shots on one. He could have won it on two. He hit the hole. He hit two-thirds of the hole on two. The ball just didn't go in. And then it set up that high drama on number three, which Tim Beret later told me we played that hole 24 times and we had not made a two. So we picked a good time to make one.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
If you had to qualify this event among the ones you've been to, and I know the match play skews it from the old stroke play events. I mean, I guess there was Vicky told me one time, I think, that you finished in the dark at Old North State Club. They wanted to call it and have you guys come back the next day, and the stroke play event finished in the dark. But you said match play kind of lends itself to this environment. But, Larry, on the whole, how good was the golf this week, and what does it mean when we get to the national tournament from the ACC perspective in your mind?
It was so high level on every front. The medal play portion was fantastic. You know, NC State played great. You know, we only beat them by a shot or two in medal play. And when our match with NC State ended, you know, Colby Patton wins in extra holes and Turk Pettit is playing Christian Salazar. They're all square through 18. So that match, if Colby doesn't birdie his second playoff hole, you know, that match is going to extra holes. So if we lose those two matches, we're not playing Florida State. But the level of golf was really tremendous. I felt for Wake a little bit. They were without one of their superstars, the Fitzpatrick kid. The Walker Cupper chose not to play this week for whatever reason. He might be hurt. I know they're a fantastic team. I know they're going to be national contenders. I do know for a fact that us in Florida State, NC State, and North Carolina – are better for having played the match play portion to prepare ourselves for the NCAAs. That's going to help us. It's going to help our conference. I think we're all going to be better prepared when we get to Arizona.
Larry, you've won 10 that you've been tied into. Again, this is the retirement run here. When you were driving back from Georgia yesterday, did it ever dawn on you, you know what, I'm never – coaching again in that kind of deal, to watch a team just gut out a championship the way they did, be so mentally tough. Does it dawn on you when you're driving back, or were you just so freaking tired and exhausted that you're just ready to get to bed?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it really doesn't affect me or dawn on me in that way. I mean, there were a lot of times yesterday when I'm thinking, I wish the heck I had retired last year. You know, I mean, that's how stressful it was. And it will wear on you. You know, Heidi will tell you, she was trying to scoot around in a cart with me, and I'm getting out and doing other things, and I've got to get away. But it's so stressful. It's not that I take it personal, but I kind of do. I will miss the competitive part of it. But going out there and trying to win a championship, you really don't think about that kind of stuff. Maybe when it's all over, said, and done. But, hey, all I've got to do is get in the car and go watch them play, and I'm going to feel like they're mine anyway. So I can experience that in other ways.
I want to follow up with that. Did you get it? And I mentioned this earlier, and I might have been out of line doing it. But I said, you know, your dear old dad probably looking down yesterday, smile on his face, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he was there. You know, but when we were at the Old North State Club forever, you know, that's an hour from my mom and dad's house. So they never missed one. And they still haven't, you know. Yeah. I think dad had his – we don't win it without help. Yeah. And I think he had his hand on us yesterday.
Yeah. I thought about you yesterday. I thought about your dad yesterday. And that's the reason I asked you that question, because he was a great dude. And I miss him. I know you do too.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. But he was there. I mean, there's no doubt he was there. I mean, we needed some intervention from somewhere yesterday.
He did,
and I think he gave it to us.
There was no question. I mean, that was a special. You've had great ones, winning 83, but that one will be when you get done and put your feet up with the grandkids fishing. You'll look back, and that ACC, your last ACC championship, will be one that'll be in your top three. I guarantee you.
No question. No question.
Yeah.
That and win the first match
Larry,
play.
I want. Yeah. Yeah. The match play, the match format play. You're a big fan of. So that's the way you want it.
Hey, let me tell you something. Right? You said it's tricky, but you know what? When you got good players, hey, let's go, man. You know, listen, if you had five Mark Packers out there, you'd say, well, you know, I don't know. I'll go get a beer at the turn. These guys will have to hurt somebody before it's over with. But you got dudes who can play. I mean, I don't care what the format is. When you got players, you got a chance. And you got a chance.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt. But I'm telling you, the format does lend to so much excitement. I mean, the crowds were great at Crabapple. It was loud. I mean, it got loud. You don't see that in golf. And I think that's what they were wanting. I hope they can get TV more involved and experience that. You know, so that part of it's a lot of fun.
I've got
great parents.
That's right.
The appropriate comment in the last conversation, the last part of the conversation was you did not have five Mark Packers. Somebody on social media sent us the 1980, is this 85 Packer? Is this the 85 squad that we're...
Somebody, Tim Beret, went on Twitter yesterday and said he's been there for all 11, including Larry's 10, and I wrote Beret on Twitter, and I said it all started with that legendary Clemson 82 squad, and then somebody on Twitter put this picture up on social media.
Whew.
Look at that group.
Wow.
That's a motley
left,
crew
Finley.
Right there.
What a crew
far
that
left.
Is.
Well, how about the back row far left, Penley? Your thoughts on the first of all, the ultralight edition of Mark Packer with the flow. That's a great looking salad he's got on his head.
That's a buck. Let me tell you something. That's a buck 45 of fades right there, bro, man. That's a buck 45 right there.
Yeah. Let me also ask this question too, Larry. How many damn guys were on this golf team? Good Lord. What in the world are y'all doing? Playing flag football?
I think that was the last year. I think the squad got trimmed down right after that. I think we got it down to about 7 or 8.
Yeah, who could play?
Because that next recruiting class was pretty good, and we needed to make some room.
Yeah, and that's when I said, hey, Larry, let's be roommates. He said, good deal. Let's move on. That's a good idea.
That's right.
Well, I'm proud of you, my man. I really am. Yesterday, following along on the network, on the extra, and on the golf stat stuff, I mean, I know you were going crazy, but that was truly a great team win, and I couldn't be happier for you.
Well, I appreciate it. And we've got unfinished business, and our conference has unfinished business, and we can cause problems. Florida State can win. Chapel Hill can win. NC State can win. Wake can win. We can win. I'm pretty confident Georgia Tech can win. We got a lot of teams that can really make some noise in the finals.
Happy for you.
Two quick questions here. Does the trophy go in Heidi's car? I mean, I know we had to pull some trophies out of Heidi's car. There have been some closets where we've had jackets. Oh, we got a hat.
Yeah, champion hat.
Look at that now, huh? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you should have worn that to start. I mean, I respect the call and everything, but you should have
shown
up with that on.
I don't look good in black. I don't know why I even put it on, but it is a hot commodity right now for sure.
No, I understand. Second question is this. Are the trophy, I guess, is not in Heidi's car. We got the answer to that. That's good. The second part is this. There's the trophy.
Right
there. Nice. Well done. It took the place of the jacket, which, as we all know, is now in the basement, of course.
Right here,
so that's
right.
All right. Here's the second question. I'm stepping out of line when I do this. I just want you to know I'm putting a little bit of my career on this line here when I ask this question. So when you retire and next spring, we're going to need an exclusive Packer and Durham golf analyst on our show. Right, Mark? Don't you think we're going to need that? We're going to need a golf analyst to appear on the show, right? Well, so I mean, why wouldn't we want Larry Penley?
Well, Larry is family. So as far as I'm concerned, whenever he wants to come chill out and pull up a chair, I mean, that's an automatic given. I mean, he doesn't even need an invite.
I'll have to check with my agent and see.
No, we don't pay Larry. There's no agreement. No, we're not paying him. I mean, you think we're paying. No, we know too much. I mean, you know, between Packer and my wife, we're not paying you now. You know we're not paying. Come
we'll
on
feed
now.
You.
We got all these stories. Hey, there's no chance.
We'll feed you. That will do.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love to do that. I think it'd be so much fun.
You know it.
Yeah. Well, you got unfinished business first. So take care of the unfinished business, right?
You got it. We will. We
appreciate
will.
It, man. All right. Happy for you. Really.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
You got
all right, man. Take care. Larry Penley, the legendary head golf coach of the Clemson Tigers. That 82 look is strong, by the way. You were rocking an 82.
You like that, did
that
you?
That was strong.
Full head of hair. Flat belly. Treated others with respect.
How about the Hager slacks? Had the Hager slacks on, too, didn't
you? Put that picture back up there and straighten you guys out. There was some serious talent on that lineup.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that. Back row. Far left, yeah.
And the guy, and
you know
I'm in the back left
you're
corner.
You're half a shoulder off of other guys?
The guy beside me is Brian Banco. That was one of my guys right there, Breezewood. That's what we called him. And even on that far back row, I mean, there's a bunch of players, but if you go to the other side, the guy that's the second to the right, that's Mike Eccles. He's sitting there making sure all the grass is green at Clemson right now. He's a great dude. And Dillard Pruitt is right there in the front middle. He was a big-time great player. Julian Taylor's to his side, to his right. Bobby Clark to the left.
Yeah.
And Nimmer and his son's now a golfer and doing all this. I mean, seriously, we had some really good players. I wasn't one of them, but we had some really, really good players. Good players.
There you go.
That's where it all started.
Good to be. No question. 82 right there.
First
Packer
one.
Looking strong.
That was the first of 11 right there. That was the very first one.
There you go.
And Larry's
all right, take a break.
Way, real
when
quick,
we come
real
back.
Quick, real quick. Larry's dad, Bud Penley, one of the greatest people ever. And Larry lost him. Rest in peace, Larry.
That's tough.
Larry's a man up there. Yep. I guarantee he was watching. Guarantee he was watching yesterday. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Give him a shout out.
Fun moments with Larry Penley. We always appreciate his time. When we come back, who's the star player on your campus? Gary Gate, by the way, the Syracuse women's lacrosse coach, coming up in about 10 minutes on the Tuesday edition of the Packer and Durham television program here, folks, on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Biggest star on campus. We're still not done with every ACC school. We'll do our best on that front. By the way, Gary Gate, who's
Larry
the,
Penley at Clemson. Larry Penley at Clemson's the biggest star on that campus.
Well, I don't know if he's
Zach Gordon.
Valerie Cagle's still the star. No disrespect to my partner, Larry Penley. Valerie's still, I think, the star on Clemson's campus. But we digress.
Good point.
Gary Gate is the women's lacrosse coach at Syracuse. He's going to join us coming up here in about 5 or 10 minutes. So we look forward to that.
All right. So stars on the campus. Kay Sully hit us up using the hashtag Packer in Durham. When coming to Pittsburgh, he said, today, Kenny Pickett, because he's going to shatter the record for most appearances on Packer in Durham. Well, you know what? Man's got a point.
Well,
man's got a point.
He's Kenny's been on four times. It's tied with Buddy Boeheim in terms of active student athletes and appearances. So, I suspect Kenny will be back maybe a time or two, and I suspect Buddy will too. That'll be a close race.
So,
but I agree with Kenny Pickett. I agree with Pickett on campus here.
Yeah, and I think a guy who gets it. We really enjoyed our visit with him last week and talking about the decision to come back. And I also like the fact that Mark Whipple said, it's my job to make the investment about your future, not about your present. but he used it by Kenny coming back for a senior year. And I thought that was well said by Coach Whipple, the offensive coordinator, and also Kenny in their discussion. Speaking of Buddy Boeheim, is he the biggest star on the Syracuse campus right now, Pac?
I think so. Number one, the whole Boeheim family is going to be such a cool story for the 21-22 season, right? Coach and sons, plural. But right now, this second, if I had to guess, I would give you Buddy Boeheim in the one slot on the Orange campus. I would.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he and Jimmy both will be great stories this year. Be interesting to see kind of how it all materializes on the football side, too. We don't know a lot about the Orange Spring. Hopefully, Dino Babers will be with us at some point here in the near future, and we can kind of check in, see where they are.
He's on tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow, Dino's
back tomorrow.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. That'd be awesome. Looking forward to having Coach Babers back with us tomorrow on this show. The idea of Buddy Boeheim, though, and the Boeheim story is going to be a big one in basketball. Okay, here's an interesting question about Virginia. The University of Virginia has had such really great athletic performances, from Paige Madden in the pool to Dox Aiken, obviously, in lacrosse, among others there. Kihei Clark in basketball. We got a tweet from Paul Raglan, who said that Brennan Armstrong, the ginger Steve Young, is the dude on the grounds at the University of Virginia.
Well, that's a tough call, right? I mean, Virginia's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know, Wes. I can't. Man, I'm torn on Virginia. I mean, we're gonna need some help on Virginia, because
we're gonna need some help.
There's not one that immediately comes to mind on Virginia. I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. That's all I'm gonna tell you. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Cavalier fans, I know you're watching. Mike Lewis is out there. He watches a lot. All right. Virginia Tech, I think, is also an interesting choice. Elizabeth Kitley, women's basketball. Keely Richard, softball. How about Trey Turner? That was suggested by the Tar River Running Company on Twitter, using the hashtag Packer and Durham.
You know, Keely Richard.
Trey Turner, the wide receiver.
Yeah, Keely Richard's been a great story, even though, as we mentioned yesterday, I know you were out of touch yesterday, but you know, Virginia Tech softball lost all four games to Notre Dame over the weekend. Yeah. That was a tough weekend. In fact, baseball got swept by NC State. Softball got swept by Notre Dame. But Keely Richard's been a great story, though. And she was on the show not too long ago. But is she the Valerie Cagle of Blacksburg? That's kind of the question here, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Sidebar, Virginia Tech has Fightin' Hokies Lager coming to your marketplace, by the way. Remember Old Tuffy?
Saw that.
For NC State fans? Remember Fightin' Hokies Lager coming out.
You would be the perfect guy.
There's some of your name, image, and likeness.
No, I get that. But, you know, I had a guy offer to send some to me, and I was like, you probably should send it to Wes, because Wes is really into it more than I am. Got to be honest with you. That'd be right down your
alley. I had Old Tuffy. Old Tuffy, very good. Very good beer. I think I'm excited about that craft market. I don't get to as much craft as I need to anymore. But, all right, so Keely Richard, Elizabeth Kitley, Trey Turner. May need some help at Virginia Tech, too. Last one is Wake Forest. I'll offer you this about Wake Forest. We have Sam Hartman here on the list because he's the quarterback of the football team. Is that the default answer when we're not sure elsewise, Pac, you think, the football quarterback?
Not necessarily, but, not to get off the train of thought here, and I know we got to go fast. I think it's been interesting, this whole process that we've done, trying to figure out the biggest star, how few men's basketball players are on this list. I think is very.
Yes, I
think that is very telling, because in normal days and times of ACC lore, you'd go through this list and ask this question,
yep.
and I would tell you that 85% of the answers would be a men's basketball player. How few have we mentioned just doing this exercise, this go-around, have included men's basketball? I think is very, very telling.
Yep, I agree with you. And you're right. If we did this 10 years ago, it would be enormous, wouldn't it?
No question. No question.
Yep.
It's not the case right now.
Yep. Nope, it is not. All right, don't forget, hashtag Packer in Durham. Send us your answers and suggestions. We've gotten a handful already. We'll show some of the best ones tomorrow on the show as well as we revisit this. When we come back, we will talk women's lacrosse. The ACC championships are in Chapel Hill this weekend. Gary Gate has Syracuse ready for the event, but without one of their top stars. We will talk to the coach next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Power Hour continues. We go from Larry Penley to stars on campus to the Syracuse women's lacrosse coach, and that would be Gary Gate, who makes his debut on the program. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Boys, man, it looks like a beautiful day. You guys look like you're ready to roll, man. Life's good, right?
Life is good. The allergies are a little bit tough right now, but other than that, everything's great. Weather's beautiful. Eyes are a little puffy, but that tree pollen gets me every time.
All right, so the North Carolina allergies have kicked in on the Syracuse coach. Is that what we're learning as you get ready for the tournament tomorrow?
Oh, it's happening in Syracuse, too. It's just this time of year is tough for me for my allergies. But, you know, it allows me to stay a little bit more indoors, watch more film, and get ready.
Before we
is
get
the tournament
in... –
go ahead, Pac.
No, go ahead.
Is the tournament environment, Coach, how different does this get this time of year for a team that's been as successful you guys have been over the years?
Well – the good thing for us is this is kind of our April. We play, by the time we're done, we'll probably be 10 games in the month of April, so every 3 days. And here in the AC tournament, you're playing every other day. And we've kind of prepped for that. So the thing is, you don't know who you're playing in advance. It's one of two teams every time, and it makes it tough to really get ramped up and dialed in, but we're down here in beautiful Durham, and we'll spend that little bit extra time we have together to do that.
Coach, we were really it stunk, quite frankly, to hear the news regarding Megan Carney. She's been on the show, delightful to talk to, great, great player. But I'm sure basically it's okay, we don't have Megan, next person up, we got to go, right?
That's another thing. It's been like that all year. This is our fourth player, impact player that we've lost this year. It started with a sophomore and Anne-Marie Hawley, who ended up having knee surgery on both knees, and we lost her, I think, forever. And she was going to be a huge part of our program. And so that was the first one. And then Vanessa Constantino, second line midfielder, fifth year that came back for that extra year, preseason. And then Emily Harris Chuck, most people know about her, preseason player of the year candidate. And we lost her. And then Meg Carney. So it's just something that you just got to learn to roll with what happens and make adjustments. And the good thing is we've been deep enough that we've been able to do that.
It's interesting, too, that sometimes a characteristic of adversity fuels a team. You sense that since this has happened periodically through this campaign, this is something that might be fueling your group?
It's just such a weird year with COVID that everybody's got weird stuff going on, whether it's how we've had very few team meetings where we all hang out, off the field. We don't spend the normal amount of time with each other. Even on the road, we eat the meals in your hotel rooms. It's definitely, there's adversity for everybody dealing with this. And, you know, certainly these injuries just galvanize that we got to do what we need to do to have the opportunity to continue to play. And I think we have pretty good buy-in on that.
The win against BC to close last week has got to be a momentum game for you, though, isn't it? I mean, both matches were tough, and you knew they would be. Everything in this league's hard. I mean, everybody can play. But it seems to me that could be a great catalyst to move you on now to postseason.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that it was a great example of what the ACC is all about for most Olympic sports. It's the best conference in the country, and certainly women's lacrosse it is. There's no doubt about that. And that you got to show up every day, and, you know, you play two games, you split them because both teams are good. And, you know, there's 5-6 teams in this league that can beat anybody. So you got to be prepared, and you got to try and play your best game every time.
Gary, when we look at this league as a whole, Mark and I have had the conversation, really, I guess, what packed for about the last month, that it's not a stretch that we could have four women's teams and four men's teams when we get to the national championship set. Is that a feasible concept in your mind that we could have all ACC on both sides?
Well, that's up to the selection committee, you know, how they want to place us. Because we have the potential to have, we have eight teams in our league right now, and potentially all eight have been ranked in the top 20, and all eight could make the tournament. Now, how do you, you know, do you have us play each other so it whittles us down? Do they keep us separated? So there's a potential of that. It really is up to the selection committee to determine, but you certainly could have that if they, you know, set up the tournament that way, it could definitely happen.
You open with Virginia Tech. I don't need to remind you about their last match, taking care of their in-state rival, Virginia, and what was a surprise. It just is, again, to me, a perfect snapshot of how difficult this league is top to bottom. You really don't even have a chance to come up for air, do you, Coach?
No. You finish Saturday. We're back traveling on Monday. And into the tournament, you know, Wednesday with our first round of games. And, you know, like I said, any team, any day in this league could upset anybody. And that's exactly what happened with Virginia Tech. So they built some momentum. So they're going to be, you know, hopefully, you know, more confident. They're going to feel a lot better about going into this first round against us. So we just got to make sure we're sharp and we don't look past them.
Well, I know you've been fighting adversity all year. I want to ask you about Syracuse lacrosse, because Mark and I have really kind of picked up the excitement of the sport this year, really on the men's and women's side. We've seen the sport grow, obviously, since the launch of the network and more exposure. What's that kind of meant for a guy that has spent your lifetime basically tied to the Syracuse lacrosse program? I mean, your legacy with 22 and everything else is well documented and talked about. What does the energy that lacrosse is now getting in the ACC mean to someone who's been around it their entire life?
I think it's just nice to see. Like, it wasn't until just a few years ago, you know, a lot of us were, you know, trying to get on TV, and it was hard to find a lacrosse game either online or on the network. And to have the ACC network come on board and show these games is amazing. And not only that, but I think any kid in the country now can go on their computer and watch almost any game that's played. So for the lacrosse fans, it's just amazing what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, for me, I get to watch as much lacrosse as I want. I can go back and see highlights, whereas in the past you just heard about it, maybe got a clip or two from the news, but now you have access to everything, and hopefully that'll keep the game growing. We're really excited about it.
Gary, is there anything in the men's game that you would like to see incorporated with the women's game?
You know, I think we've done, on the women's side, if you watch a game from 5 years ago, it's so different. There's all these whistles and people stop and they have to freeze all over the field. And I've gone back and watched a couple just to remind myself what it used to be like. And it's just so much better for fans now. And that was a goal of ours as a group, was to make it fan friendly. And I know the men have done the same thing. You know, they followed us in with a shot clock, which I think is huge to keep the game going. I remember the men's game for a while. It was about how long could you hold on to the ball before you have to touch your foot inside the box. And it seemed silly. And then once you were called for stalling, it's how long can you keep it before you lose the ball? Mm-hmm. So it really stopped being about scoring goals and making plays and became about the rules and other things. So, you know, I just hope the men continue to look at that and let the game be played and let the kids have fun and make it, keep it exciting to watch. And I'm sure they'll do that.
I guess this is where we're obligated to ask about the stick now, aren't we, Pac?
Yes.
And we're kind of talking about it, right?
Yes.
Gary, we've had a lot of fun on this show with women's lacrosse players in the ACC in regard to when they score a goal, then they have to put the stick on the ground and they measure the cage and they measure the net and that kind of thing, the way the sticks. So here's my question to you. We've seen a variety of ways that players drop the stick on the ground. Now, yep. Megan Carney, I like Megan's style. She gets excited. I think this is Emma Ward scoring, and you know she puts a stick on the ground, that kind of thing. I got to be honest with you, though, Gary. I want to see a young lady score and turn and wield the stick about 30 yards down the field. I really do. I want to see somebody just heave it like a javelin down the field. Your thoughts on this rule and where it goes? Yeah.
It's already was on our latest survey to ask if we think we still need it, and I voted to remove it. I was never a fan of it because it seems silly that we got to check. You check them before the game, you check them during the game, and it's just the pocket depth. And the sticks are so good nowadays that you're not seeing any goals called back. It's not like it used to be where it was really hard to keep your pocket legal. And I've actually teamed up with my brother. I'm in the manufacturing business now. And the sticks are very difficult to make illegal. So, you know, I think the rule's a little outdated, and hopefully we'll get some changes and we can move forward with that.
Well, we look forward.
I have seen a couple players throw the stick 25 yards easy.
Yes,
so they don't use the javelin style. They use the more of a discus style, where they just whip it around and it goes end over end and down the field. I have seen that, and I believe they've been reprimanded for it.
Oh, come on. Everybody loosen up. The helicopter toss never hurt anybody, Coach. Come on. It never hurt anybody.
I just don't think – that's just extra work for the refs to go find it, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's good planning. You know, assuming those guys can see the stick, right, Coach? Assuming they can find it. It's all about eyesight, right?
Their allergies always act up around the time, I think.
Well, we wish you the best. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And let's go, Lox. Here we go.
You got it.
All right. You got it. Gary Gate, the head coach of Syracuse's women's lacrosse program. Boy, they have really fought injury, and Megan Carney just the latest. We wish them all the best in Chapel Hill. And, of course, we've got coverage of the ACC's Women's Lacrosse Championship for you right here on ACC Network. Starts tomorrow. Pack, nothing a quadruple header won't solve. High noon. How about this? Four of them in a row from Dorrance Field and Chapel Hill. Semifinals are Friday afternoon at noon and 2:30. Title game is Sunday at 2 right here on ACC Network, presented by GEICO. Final segment of the old Tuesday program coming up next. Well, that's a young-looking John Swofford, isn't it? on this date when we come back right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a busy, busy Tuesday show. We have some items, though, that we need to address before we get out of here.
Yeah, Lumberjacks are already lining up a Wednesday for us. Holy cow. Mark Krikorian will be here tomorrow. Florida State. Dino Babers of Syracuse.
I mean, they work around the clock.
These guys work, Pack. They work.
You tell me. I'm well aware of it. That's why they're the smart people and getting paid and have their own parking spot. I mean, those are some talented folks up here in Bristol.
All right. On this date, 1997, roll it up for John Swofford being hired as the commissioner of the ACC on this date in 1997.
Hey, what is that?
I didn't think we were going to run that, Nora. I'm sorry. Nora, I'm sorry we ran that picture.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
There's the commissioner.
We would never have put that first picture up if he was still the commissioner of the ACC. I can tell you that right now.
There'd be people losing their jobs
at ACC Network if that first picture was on when the commissioner was still running the show. But now that he's got that tin roof up here in Greensboro, we can show you that dude.
Yeah.
That's the only way we pulled that off, I can assure you.
I hope the commissioner's out banging balls this morning. He didn't see that. Good heavens.
By the way, who had a worse do going on? Commission 90. Well, I don't know when that picture was taken. That was with Dean.
That was 86. I'm going to tell you, that picture was January of 86. That was the night before they played the first basketball game in the Smith Center.
Okay, so that was John. All right, I'm going to give you that scenario A, scenario B. John Swofford, 86, or Mark Packer, 82.
Let's go to the 82 photo one more time. You see Dean Smith's already laughing. Dean Smith was laughing. Commissioner's wearing a Carolina blue tie. You can't see that in the black and white picture. Can we haul out the 1982 championship Clemson golf team? Because I want folks to know, back row far left. And notice that the greatness is so strong back row far left that the other guy has to move closer to the guy next to him to get away from the greatness that is Mark Packer.
I got nothing to do with it. If only you knew.
Look at the – bro, I want to tell you now, you are completely the lady's choice, aren't you?
Oh.
Huh?
Ladies man.
You were the lady's choice back in 82, weren't you? Come on now, the flow, the golf shirt, the big open – I noticed it's unbuttoned all the way down too, by the way. The old placard shirts, placard button shirts, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all had some gear at Clemson too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I think we about 15 of us got cut the next year, but we just kind of ran out of money.
Hey, by the way, let me ask a question. Who's the guy front row far right that does not have the standard issue shirt on? Is that a player on the team?
That is Paul Jett, who was at one point in time the superintendent at Pinehurst. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there was some talented dudes in that picture right there. I'm just telling you. The stories that could be told.
By the way, dead center front row is Dillard Pruitt, correct?
Right. PGA Tour, just retired from the PGA Tour.
Got Tour written all over him, dude. Got Tour written all over him.
Dillard was from Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and
that's it.
One of the really good dudes. He was a year older than I was, and in fact, he just sent me a text last year. He was watching the show we were cutting.
Did he?
I said, man, you need to come on over here. Dillard's like, I'll pass with you guys. I'm going to get away from that deal. So Dillard's great.
Tell Dillard I need a putting lesson. I need to work on my putting. I need some putting tips to not making any putts right now.
Dillard Pruitt, Jay Haas family. I mean, they were all interconnected. That whole Clemson Wake Forest golf thing was all interconnected. It really was.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yep. It's been fun. Larry Penley, congratulations to Clemson and Larry Penley in particular on a phenomenal finish yesterday. They played the old Crabapple course at 7,300 yards and a par 70, Pack. I think you're about ready to tackle that one, aren't you?
I'd tackle the clubhouse and with the bourbon while the boys are out there trying to break 75. That's the deal there. On a serious note, though, Wes, before we get out of here today.
Yes, sir.
On behalf of everybody here at ACC Network, our show, everybody, thoughts and prayers go out to the Florida State football community.
Absolutely.
Family and friends of Geno Hayes passed away at the age of 33. Was a really good player, drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucs back in 08. Mm-hmm. Has really been struggling, and we lost him. And I just want to say on behalf of everybody in the ACC, thoughts and prayers to the Hayes family, friends, and the Florida State football community. That's a tough loss. That's a really, really tough one. We have fun with sports talking it, but
incredibly,
you know, puts things in perspective instantly when you see and read stories like that. So, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone associated that was affected.
Yeah, you bet, and same here. Tremendous player and gone far too soon. Huh. Real quick, there are 8 games on the baseball schedule tonight. NC State's on the road at Appalachian. Florida State, Notre Dame, Miami, Carolina, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, all at home, and Georgia, Georgia Tech tonight on ACC Network at 7 o'clock.
That's a good one.
So there you go. That's a look at the ACC baseball schedule. Tomorrow, Mark Krikorian and Florida State's women's soccer team, number one seed, will join us, and so will Dino Babers of the Orange. Looking forward to it. Have a great day, folks. Thanks for making Packer and Durham part of your day on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.